You're my hope. And go to Revelation chapter 22. Is actually a continuation of chapter 21 as John is describing this city that he saw coming down. And at the end of verse 5, John begins in giving some closing exhortations and challenges, warnings. And he ends the book that way. But in verses 1 through 5, John continues describing that new Jerusalem. It is like John has been giving us a guided tour of heaven. John has given various aspects of the city. John has described it as a holy city coming down from God out of heaven. And John described the size of it. John described the wall of the city and the gates of pearl. Foundation, all of those things John has described. But he also describes it as a temple. Although John said that he saw no temple therein as such, but he says that the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. So John has described it as a city. John has described it as a temple. Now John describes it a lot like a garden in these verses, as he describes in the verses 1 through 3. John begins to talk about the life of this city. Notice the first thing John describes in the first verse. John says that he showed me a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. John first of all describes the river of life. John says it is a pure river of life, clear as crystal. Those words indicate John is saying there is hope, solution. Don't trash in this river. It is a pure river of life flowing from the throne of God. We are hard pressed in our world to find pure rivers. I mean rivers that have no trash and no pollution. I remember when I was here in the first time, and I went to Louisville, Kentucky, preached a revival for Brother Sonny Paul. While we were there, one day, we rode up, saw the Ohio River, ate at a little restaurant right beside it. I remember as we sat, I looked out the window, and that river had limbs and parts of trees, trash constantly flowing by. I remember thinking to myself, what a nasty river that river looks like. And thank God there is a river in the city of God that is a pure river, clear as crystal. I believe as John describes the river, he is describing a place of abundant satisfaction. I believe that John is telling us in that city, just as the river of life flows out of the throne of God, down through the city, it is a satisfying place to live. I remember when I was pastoring in Mount Airy, I had a man one day tell me, he said, "Preacher, I want to show you my favorite spot." I said, "All right. Walk me down through the woods." And there was a wide creek flowing by. Over the rocks, it flowed. we were away from all the traffic, all the sounds, its sin nature. And he said, I love to just come, sit down by this creek, find peace, find satisfaction from all the noise and the things of life. I believe that's what John's describing. Heaven is a place of perfect peace, perfect satisfaction in the Lord Himself. He says in Psalm 36:8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. It says then, and thou shalt make him drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. I want to tell you, I believe if we desire, it isn't we have to, but if we desire, we'll be able to drink of the river of the waters of life, clear as crystal. It's hard to find something satisfies any better than a cool drink of water. I like other things, but whenever you're tired and thirsty, water just hits the spot. I believe it is saying that heaven's a place of purity, pleasure, prosperity in God Himself. Pleasure flows from the very throne of God. Psalm 46:4 says there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Thank God there is a river of life. John then describes in 1 Peter the tree of life. John said in the midst of the tree of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. John says there was also a tree of life. First time in the Bible we're introduced to the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. And God said man could eat of it. The only thing was that knowledge of good and evil tree God said not to eat of sand. But they could eat of the tree of life. After Adam and Eve's sin, God removed his their access to the tree of life. God guarded it. If they eat in a sinful state and feed that forever. So God removed their access. And now there is in the city of God, there is a tree of life. He describes it in an unusual way. John says in the midst of the street, and on either side of the river, yes, he said there a tree of life. I have read a couple ideas of what they think. First of all, I've read that some believe the tree sits right in the middle of the street, but its branches reach both sides of the river. I say that is possible. But the phrase that I see, where it says on either side of the river, others say there are probably more than one tree. I can see that. I don't have a problem with that. I believe there'll be ample access to the tree of life. Somebody may be thinking, preacher, do we have to eat of it to live forever? I believe this. I believe God placed it there for our enjoyment. We don't have to eat of it to live. But like the river, God gives us access if we desire. I said a while ago, it was a place of abundant satisfaction. Also a place of abundant provision. I want to go back. Chapter 3. Read your verse. Chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 2, excuse me. Chapter 2, verse 7. He says, he that hath him here, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. God said, they that overcome, I'll give them access to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. He is talking about the tree. John describes him as text. God is going to give us access if we desire to eat of it. You say, I don't know. We'll be in a glorified body. We'll not have all that we deal with now, hunger and thirst and all of that. I agree. I also read in John's Gospel where Jesus showed up after his resurrection in his glorified body and ate with the disciples. I think we can if we desire. John says about the tree, it bare 12 manner of fruits. Preacher, what kind? Have you got any idea? Bible doesn't tell us. I tell you what, I like good pink lady apples. That's my favorite apple. I like seedless oranges. I like pears. I mean, there's various kinds of fruit I really like. I want to tell you, these will be unlike anything we have ever eaten down here. Those apple trees are growing under a curse. Orange trees under a curse. John says in verse 3, there'll be no more curse. Thank God there'll be fruit, 12 manner of fruit of the tree. He said, and they yielded their fruit every month. I read somebody say that is the most fantastic fruit of the month. God is going to provide fruit on the tree of life. Send the leaves thereof for the healing of the nations. I'll be honest, that part has things I don't understand. I believe, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe he's talking about the life health that we'll have eternally. I believe that he is saying our life in heaven, our health in heaven will be perfectly healed forever. Thank God there's a day there'll be no more glasses. Thank God there'll be no more backaches. Thank God there'll be no more hips to hurt and knees to hurt. Thank God there'll be no more skin cancers I'm dealing with now. Thank God there'll be no cancers of any kind. No heart problems. Nothing. All will be well in the city of God. What a day. I touched on it a moment. Let me just say a word about verse 3. John said, and there shall be no more curse. I believe God is saying heaven will be paradise restored. God placed Adam and Eve in a perfect paradise. There was no sickness, no sorrow. There was no sweat. There was no pain. There was no death. Till they sinned. After they sinned, God brought a curse on the land. God told Adam, with a sweat of your brow, you'll work the land. Told Eve, said, be paid in childbirth. All of those things. Ground was cursed. All things on the earth carries the curse because of man's sin. John said there will be no more curse. Thank God there'll be perfect health, perfect harmony, perfect strength, perfect joy. It'll be a time of abundant restoration. John says, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. I want to tell you, paradise restored with the presence of God. I thought about when I was reading this, how that before Adam sinned, God would come down in the cool of the day, walk with Adam, talk with Adam in the garden. All that changed with Adam sin. God came down. Adam had hid himself. And God said, Adam, where art thou? And everything changed. But I invite you to look back at verse 3 of chapter 21 again. It says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Paradise restored. What a day. We sung about Him while ago, the choir did, about how precious He is. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we see Him? When we're able to tell Him how much He means to us. When with perfect minds and hearts and lips, we can tell Him that He's worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. Not just a couple of hours in church here, but forever and ever. We'll be in His presence. What a day. What a day. I'm not going to touch on that last phrase yet. I will. He says, and His servants shall serve Him. I'll touch on that next time in verses 4 and 5. I want to tell you, God is preparing an amazing place for His children. Thank God one day we're going to be there. We're going to see the river of life flowing clear as crystal. We're going to see the tree of life bearing 12 manner of fruit. God's abundant supplies, satisfaction. God's abundant gifts unto you and I as His children. God's going to take care of all troubles, trials, sickness, sorrows, hurts, pain. There'll be no more. Probably most of us wake up every morning with some kind of aches, hurts, pains, soreness, tiredness, weariness from life. Thank God there'll be no more one day. All of that will be gone. I'm with Adam. I think it's close. I think it's close. I am glad that all is well in my heart. I'm ready and waiting, looking for our Lord to come. Thank God He's coming again. That's the message of my heart. I hope that maybe somehow the Lord encourages our heart, puts in our heart a greater desire for heaven, greater longing to see our Savior face to face. John says that in the next verses. John says it plainly, simply, and they shall see His face. I want to look at that. I want to talk about that a little bit next time. Brother David, if you'll get us a song, we'll stand and sing. There may be a need in a heart. There may be somebody, something in your heart you just long for the Lord's touch and help. Thank God He's able to meet our needs today. Able to work in our hearts. By chance, if there's somebody that don't know Him, thank God He'll save today by His grace. While we stand, while we sing, would you?